Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gav Murphy and there's loads of us this week.
Yeah,
but Gav, why is there such wacky energy?
Why do we do this?
So, do you want to clarify?
Yeah, we all went out last night. We've had a really good year money-wise in the company.
So, can we say that?
I don't know, probably.
So they put on like a quiz with free booze and then they took us bowling.
Yeah, and you thought
it's like a make a wish day.
We do podcasts.
We're all actually dying.
I said that the other day because we all got all the new kit and the new TVs came out. I was just like, is it make a wish? Am I dying? Yeah.
Do you think this is just like a big thing to try and make us do physical exercise?
Yeah.
Is it like a health kick?
Yeah. So for some reason we were like, oh, you know, we're really good. Like, you know, sometimes you have that like manic hangover energy. Like, we should do that.
I never had that.
You're still drunk.
I feel like shit and I'm tired.
Yeah, I feel like I just haven't slept.
So this is going to be a banger.
This is going to be a great podcast, guys. We're going to lift it up. We're all going to feel way better afterwards. Me and Powers bowled a double strike while Joe was filming.
No,
what are the odds of that?
It was incredible.
It was so cool.
It's pretty good.
Because they basically hit the exact same time and it's just a moment where we just turn around. I think I jumped into your arms. You spun me around. It was really romantic. We kissed a little bit.
Let me run it as a play-by-play. The video starts and someone else from our office tries to bowl and falls on their ass. So I pan over to him for a second, then I pan back and you're both running up and you let go not quite at the same time, which annoys me, and then as the ball's going down, Rory's already got his arms up.
I know
he's bowled so
up.
Many strikes that night that you just knew it was happening.
You felt it.
I felt it.
And then there's a bit where he turns around as he realizes you've both bowled a strike and you both lose your minds. One of you spins the other around. And then Dale's big face comes on the screen and shakes his head sadly.
Oh, it's really funny. It's really good timing.
It's brilliant.
It's great.
What? And then we did karaoke. It was good. We sang lots of songs.
A thousand miles twice.
Did we sing that twice?
Yeah, we sang it once took and it got turned off on the last verse, so we forced it back on again.
Rewrited.
By the end, by the way, I don't remember why this was so funny.
I was Vanessa Cole.
Why was it so hilarious putting corn dogs in people's beers last night? These corn dogs went in every single person's drink.
They forgot about that.
They gave us a big pile of corn dogs, tiny little corn dogs. And I decided as I was leaving that I would take four with me in my pocket. I wrapped them up so they weren't touching in my pocket. And then just at one point towards the end of the night, they started going in drinks.
Yeah, I remember there was looking around and it's like, oh.
There was one bit where we put three in Shep's beer. And
there was a
he never
Guinness
looked
as
up
well.
From his phone.
And they were just sitting
then
there.
Then we took them all out before he noticed because we all felt bad. He took one more sip
and
he
went
and
home.
Left.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's because he suddenly started tasting corn dogs in his beer and didn't understand why. Like he was having a stroke.
He's like, the warning sign.
Beer says a corn dog, time to go home. As the old saying goes.
His wife's like, if I'm not there and you're out and you taste corn dogs, you come home right away.
If you can smell toast or taste corn dogs, you're fucked.
Stop, drop and roll.
The problem is
But yeah, it was good. And now we have to do this. So
strap yourself in.
It's gonna be wild.
Feel the G's. Ghost in the Shell. Me and Power Story.
Yeah,
cool. Next segment.
Yeah, just go through it like that. We played some Xbox games. Done. You really liked it.
Yeah, unlike our joint strike, we have very different.
Not really. Outcomes. Do you know what? Because I like that you enjoyed it. Yeah. But
good for you. Yeah. No, you like the pretty picture.
It's a beautiful looking film, but my God, is Scarlett Johansson rubbish in it.
I thought she was. What's
why is she rubbish in it?
She's meant to be acting like a robot. So, she's meant to be acting like a robot. So it's like she talks like a robot, and
does
it just sounds like
no, she doesn't. She does, man. Like, where is the leader?
And no, it's not like that. She's very like
no, it's more text to speech.
She's very monotonous. In it.
It's just Siri.
I didn't like it.
It's a hard role to get across, though, isn't it? Because you're supposed to be a robot, but also
a trace of humanity.
With a human there, and that's the kind of problem that she's in. She's being pulled in both directions.
I don't get it.
Oh, you didn't get that?
It's like an anime, so like whenever she's a bit embarrassed, a big like bead of sweat has to appear on her
stress
face.
Lines.
Like, this is one. Like, there's some beautiful stuff in it. It looks really, really good. And like the depiction of hacking, like what they do with that is really, really good. But this is
just people on keyboards really fast. That's the best depiction of hacking. There's this one scene.
It's pretty early on, and it's in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler. But there's this one scene really early on where she just goes, something happens. One, there's a geisha robot, which for some reason has been programmed to be a fucking spider. I don't know why geisha robots need to have that kinky
that
ability.
That is actually
really good. But why is a geisha robot being made so it can turn into a spider? Is that right?
Look, right off the bat, I don't know. I've got nothing.
I'm not defending it.
But then there's a bit where the geisha robot that's attacked is in the morgue for robots, I suppose. They go, oh, if only there was a way of getting into her memory. And Scarlett Johansson goes, I'm going to have to do a deep dive. And the guy who's like a best mate goes, oh, don't do a deep dive. That's the worst thing you can do. And the mortician for robots goes, oh my God, not a deep dive. It's going to be really bad. The guy goes, what if you get hacked when you go into it? She's like, that won't happen. That definitely won't happen. I got to do a deep dive. The mortician's like, no, don't do a deep dive. Worst thing you can do. She does a deep dive, gets hacked instantly. And then it's like, oh no, she's being hacked. It's like, you just spent 5 minutes.
Is it really called a deep dive?
Yeah,
that's such a like wanky business term. Yeah. Like, she's pulling snaps.
But there's a bit where they're going on for about 10 minutes. It felt like telling her not to do a deep dive.
It was probably like 3 seconds.
It felt so long. I leaned over to Paul. I was like, I think this is all gonna be okay. As soon as she goes in, she goes, oh, she's being hacked. That's exactly what happened.
Is she meant to be really shit at her job? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
She's actually, give it fair play, Scarlett Johansson, she is a badass in that movie. She kicks a lot of ass.
Let's not forget as well, like, you know, like they've had this whole thing with like whitewashing and stuff like that. Like, she's actually, I don't know if I can say this, because
no,
maybe
no,
it's
don't,
a spoiler,
don't.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I thought that's how that was.
Powers liked it.
They already ruined the deep dive. Yeah. Best bit.
Have you watched the original anime?
Yeah, I have watched.
Do you like it? Anime. I really like it. You've turned your beanie into like a
I don't
bonnet,
know what.
Like a washman's
like
bonnet.
Like my Ukrainian grandmother. Oi.
Why did you like it?
I liked it. Like, it's your strong point, which is one of mine as well. Like, visually, I was telling Dan as well, like, I think it's like visually the strongest movie I've seen since The Matrix. Like, I left that movie just totally infatuated with this world. I was like, that was so cool. The design of the characters, the world, the vehicles, the weapons, like all of it. Obviously very close to the anime itself.
Yeah.
But it just looked incredible. I was thinking about it the next day, even still. In terms of narrative, it's like, it's basically the plot of the movie, but like obviously watered down a bit and condensed, so it's a bit more digestible. I think it did have some issues, but overall, I think if you like Ghost in the Shell and you're open-minded, I think you'll enjoy the movie as well.
It doesn't really have a third act, really. It just ends.
No, I was the same as you, because there's something that happens right at the end and you're like, oh, this
here
is it now. They're going to gear up and they're going to go take down the bad guy. And then just, it was just like, no.
Sounds like an anime.
Gone.
halfway through.
Anime would have been like,
up.
Her hair turned yellow, me flying around.
She basically ring the ending is her ringing someone up, going, is that the end? Yes, the end.
Yeah. All
right, sweet, that's the end.
Arrest him. Will do.
The deep fucking
dive. Deep dive.
The big.
Oh, we should be doing deep dive on Monday.
Yeah. the big holograms thing in the cities. They look really good.
So cool.
It's like the Matrix ends with a phone call.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Do we watch the Matrix?
Flying. Flying.
What was it?
Phone call of flying.
Banana. Banana. Banana.
Yeah, we're just like, I can see why everyone's talking about the casting issues. Keanu Reeves should not have been
a Japanese lady. Yeah,
the lead. Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Good. I'm glad. Joe?
Yes.
What did we do last week?
We went to Microsoft's weird offices.
Yeah.
They've got like just an apartment with a door knocker in their office. Yeah.
What?
It's really
what?
Strange.
It's like someone built an apartment in their offices.
Someone gone mad.
Yeah.
Did someone knock a little knocker wrapper?
They really made a noise
knocker
as well.
Knocker wrapper. That's not, you know, knocker rapping rapper. On the door.
You're rapping to get inside an apartment complex.
I was about to try that and I realised I'm both too white and too tired.
We got to play a load of IDEA Xbox games.
Which is their indie self-publishing program.
Yeah.
It was good. There's lots of actually very interesting things that Rhyme. We laughed at a lot.
Rhyme was awesome.
Rhyme was really good. That's the game that looks a lot like Eco. And is basically Eco, but with some more colours.
Around for years and years.
Yeah,
and years.
It kept.
It was originally a Sony exclusive.
Yeah, it was going to be a PS4 exclusive.
Was it?
Yeah, and then
they announced at Gamescom Sony fucked like it off 4 years ago.
Ooh.
And then it got republished by someone.
Spanish.
And
yeah.
It's Tequila Works, who've done quite a few things.
Why do you say that in a Jamaican accent?
I didn't say it in a Jamaican accent. That's just what happens.
So does someone
sometimes.
Live in the apartment? Or is it just a building? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know.
Like Big Brother. They're all making games every day.
The main thing that stuck with me in that small outing is that Gav insisted that we don't eat lunch beforehand because they were definitely going to have a sandwich because it was in an apartment. So there would be a kitchen in it.
And that wasn't the case.
I had one bag of crisps. I was furious.
Yeah.
But what else did we play? We played Snake Pass. You found really fun.
What is Snake Pass? That's coming to Switch as well.
It is coming to Switch, actually. Oh, yeah, sweet. They kept that quiet on the day.
Rhyme as well. Rhyme on Switch.
Rhyme on Switch. Yeah, it's £10 more expensive on Switch, though.
Is it?
That's weird.
Snake Pass is basically like you control a snake, but you control like its actual body. So you have to like get up things by like holding, like placing your weight and stuff like that on different parts of the snake. And like you kind of hold the tail.
That's very weird. He's got like a little fairy or bug buddy or bird. It's a bird.
And that takes
and it can
you
like
away.
Hold
yeah,
your
yeah.
tail up to make you a bit lighter for
That's adorable.
You fly about and
snake
stuff,
and the bird.
And you can make the snake's face change expressions.
Oh, yeah. Bird.
For no reason at all, you can make the snake's face change. Yeah. So you can just make him look really sad about everything you're doing.
So he looks really sad when he's going there. He's like screaming. I guess it's the Sumo Digital people. I guess they worked on like Little Big Planet where you can change.
They did the last one, yeah.
Yeah, you can change Sackboy's face for no apparent reason and stuff as well.
So
yeah,
that's why,
I love every time they bring out a new Sony game, they still do Sackboy skins.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who's buying that?
Who is buying those?
Is that
Horizon skin?
Snake Pass is that very weird, like feels nostalgic for N64 days.
Yeah.
Like it's very. It looks like an old Rare game. And
it's got googly eyes in it.
Proper googly
eyes. It has, but
everything's
it's
got eyes.
What's different between... Oh, no, I'm not going to say that's being mean.
I know what you're going to say.
I know.
It's going to work out what that was.
It's
the newest Gavin.
It's surprisingly weird trying to learn how a snake's body works. Because you've got to sort of wrap yourself around things, but then you've got to tighten so that you can
like,
hold there and carry on up.
One-off puzzle room sort of things, or is it like...
The bit we played
what
was
got,
just
what
like,
you got to get to?
The bit we played...
Yeah, you've got to collect stuff, and once you collect enough stuff, it opens up like a portal for you to go.
Right.
But you can also collect others. There's more...
Yeah, there's loads of collectibles, like of different kinds. And it's essentially you're in one big area and you collect everything you want and then you fuck off through the portal, presumably to the next
snake
area.
Business.
Snake business.
I love games where they like break down really basic tasks into like really intricate controls.
Yeah.
It's like that browser game, I forget what it's called. The running one where you have to move the runner, but you control like every single joint and it's just it makes you feel so dumb.
Like mount like your friends as well.
Yeah, like games like that.
Did you
guys
play
really
that turn-based fighting game, Toribash?
No.
Where you had to like position and manipulate every joint and muscle in the fighter each turn so that they would do a correctly muscular kick to someone else.
Too much.
It's
no,
fucking
you've gone too
impossible.
Far.
It's like only the nerdiest pricks in the world like, can play turret.
It's so hard to do that. It's like why all like robots are shit.
Yeah.
I went to the robotics exhibit at the Science Museum, and it's like the evolution of robots from like science fiction to actual real robots. Yeah. And like there's a middle section where it's just footage of robots like falling over because it's just like it's really hard to program like a robot to measure distance. Everything that you do automatically, you're making like trigonometry calculations about vectors, and that's coming at that speed. Robot just like, what? I'll do what you tell me. And it's just footage of it falling down these stairs. It's like all that footage of robots trying to play football.
Yeah.
Robot goalkeepers. Watch that all day long, mate.
Have we talked about the robots sex robot documentary on Netflix? We talked about it on this podcast.
I don't think we have, but we should definitely show.
I watched it.
Oh man, the other day.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
We should watch it in here in lunchtime.
We should. Yeah, make our own.
I haven't watched it for a couple of weeks, so I would watch it. It's a 3/4 hour documentary about people making sex robots, and I think it took me about an hour and a half to watch it because I kept rewinding bits and pausing
Instagram
bits.
Stories about it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's also what I find hilarious watching it. Robot is a very generous description. There's this guy who's been making a robot for years. It's basically like
a
rice hammer in a latex suit.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, yeah, I'm into robotics. No, you're about as much into robotics as I am.
Can you say a motorized hammer?
Yeah.
What's it doing? Just crushing his
thrusting.
Dick
well,
over and over
there
again.
There is one guy who makes a sex robot and
it injures it.
He kind of treats it as like it could kill you.
Yeah, he says he's like I had to destroy the other one because I made it's a really awkward moment at Doc Reddy. He goes, I had to destroy the other one because it was so powerful. And it's a really awkward moment. He's like, what happened? I want to know
who died. Because this is like that's the one that's a bit more advanced than the other dude's one.
Yeah.
But it like weighs 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Like if that falls on you, you're dying.
This missing arm, nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
What?
That's not really an accident.
No, my girlfriend watched it and showed me this one clip of a guy like trying to put the robot in like a doggy style position, and then like just one of the joints fails and it just sort of really slowly falls over. It's so
easy, master.
I'm sorry,
it's
sir.
I think it's called Sex Robot.
Yeah, you'll find it.
I think it's just called My Sex Robot.
There's a guy who makes a sex robot and takes it to a porn convention in Las Vegas. And all I'll say about this man is, like, as soon as I looked at him, if someone said, draw me a picture of a man who spent his life making sex robots, I could draw that man before I'd seen
There's a lot of creepy...
IGN_UK feedback. Yeah. Draw that man.
Let's see how
pictures.
Close you are.
Oh, he's so sweaty constantly.
Yeah,
that
makes me, sometimes that makes me really sad, though, seeing these people. I'm just like, you need help.
Bit the stakes to me, you're also like, you realize how these people have come about. It's like there's one bit where a guy's showing his latest sex robot to his like mum and dad, and then his dad gets off with her.
His father-in-law
goes up to this robot, starts kissing it and like feeling its tit, and and it's just like,
this is good.
All right. Everyone having a go?
That's all okay.
Jesus Christ.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about...
Snake Pass.
Snake Pass.
What did that happen?
The N64 Endurance game.
Yeah, that's really good.
Oh, wait. Aero.
Oh,
we played a game called Aero. It's great. It's like
it is really good.
It's a rhythm action...
Terrible name.
Yeah, it's not
is it like
a good name.
A-A-E-R-O?
It's the chocolate bar with an extra A. Like you're saying,
and also
Aero.
As
I want an Aero.
As he pointed out, the dudes are fucking British, so they know what an Aero is. So why have they called their game
again
after Aero. A delicious minty treat?
Again, this game's great, but my favourite thing about it was Gav's reaction to something that happened around we have recorded, and you were going to put in the podcast.
Yeah, we'll insert it in. But basically, we went along to this day, and the idea was we didn't have to do any we didn't have to take any of our capture gear, so everything was already set up. So it was awesome. So we went around and did like 6 Let's Plays. That was the plan. So we get off to the first one, and I said to the guy, like, there's a big fucking, there's a box with a light on it, and the light is green. And I said, I pressed it, and the light went red. I was like, oh, is red record like every other fucking thing in the world? And he goes, no, green is record. I was like, you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'll do a test now. So I did it. I did a test, gave him the USB, took it, came back. Yep, green is definitely record. I was like, Are you sure, man? Because when is green ever record for anything? Like, not just capture, anything.
Green,
like,
is go?
Green
for
is
a stoplight?
Go, play, yeah. Like, era. Yeah, heroes.
Freeze frame. What happened next?
So I was like, all right, man. Like, but you know, like, when you do something, you're like, I'm sure this isn't right, but there must be a German word for that, when you're just soldiering on.
Well,
like,
where you do stuff when you know it's not right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a fucking German word for that.
They love it.
Nuts.
But anyway, so Joe starts playing this fucking game, and
it was really fun. And like, a good time.
I'm looking at this box this entire time just going, it ain't recorded, man. Like, it ain't recorded. It's on green. It's not recorded. Joe does this level perfectly.
Correct.
We're going.
Not riffing.
The banter bus is running.
Oh, it was like, riff central in
riff
there.
Really?
The devs were
like
laughing.
Jimmy Page, let's
yeah.
play.
They loved actually, it. The devs were pissing themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
they loved it.
even though half of Gab's stuff was about how shit loads of it was. How you did it.
No, it's crying.
We only had one set of headphones, and it's a rhythm action game. Yeah. So Gav couldn't hear any of the music. So it was just me going, oh, it's another drop.
And I was sitting Gab really like, close to the screen going, this looks like a pain in the ass. But anyway, fucking, you know what's gonna happen. This guy comes over just after we finished our level and goes, oh, actually I was wrong, Red's recording. I was like, I did say, man, like, this is really awkward bit where I'm just like, yeah, that is kind of what I said, isn't it, dude? And Joe's like, does this really,
I'll be dying.
He does this horrible, like, nervous laugh. He's also like trying to calm me down as well.
Yeah,
it's like,
I was just like, yeah, no, it's fine, we can use lots of what we just did, Gav. It's so fine, like, we can just put it on.
Alright, so it's definitely recording now, man, yeah? And he's like, yeah. And then he just walks away. You can just hear me in my breath going, fucking bullshit. So we'll put that in right now.
Let's go, Katie B. Katie on a mission.
I think Green's been ready to record. My bad.
So that wasn't recorded.
No, sorry.
Right, cool.
Let's overlay a lot of what
so
we were
so it's definitely
saying.
Ready to record now, man. Yeah. Okay. I did say it was definitely ready to record. Like, let's do that again.
We can drop lots of that in there.
Yeah. Fucking knew it was red.
Right.
Utterly seething. Go, Joe.
Just the drop.
Didn't I sound great? But yeah, Aero was really, really good. Oh. We played Ruiner, the world's new game. That was quite good.
Very Hotline
Miami.
That's
hard, though.
It's hard as hell.
Was that the ape one, sorry? Did you say?
No,
I wish.
It's called Ruiner.
Did you guys play the ape one?
Nah,
no, I've only played the playable demo.
That one looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. It's really
so good.
What's Ruiner?
Ruiner's basically a sort of cyberpunk Hotline Miami, but with 3D graphics.
Yeah.
And it's got a very sort of Neo Tokyo type feel. Very Ghost in the Shell.
I'm in.
But it's just, it's like a much harder Hotline Miami, basically. And much more sort of action.
There's lots of stuff to do.
It's not as much, it's not as much kind of cover-based, like going around corners and manipulating space. It's just like, can you survive with eight people shooting at you when you can die in a couple of hits?
Is that good? Does that make it fun? Like,
it's fun. It's fun until it gets really tough. And then we did one bit just over and over and over again, and I got really frustrated. And then you finish it and you're like, I'm the best!
So right,
But it has this one brilliant move, which is this multi-dash where you can
so
like
good,
queue up dash, like blink dashes around the area, and it just looks fucking great. So you're kind of zooming around, which sort of puts the AI off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like for a split second, enough to get a couple of shots in and then do it again.
Yeah, because you can shoot while you're dashing as well.
Like, yeah. It's a really smart and like responsive game. We only played it on PC though. If that comes out on console, I have no idea how it's going to work because it's so quick.
Yeah.
You're much harder on a controller. I'm glad you're interested.
How'd you do multi-dash? I was thinking. I wasn't yawning because of that.
Savage Murphy.
No, unbelievable.
That wacky energy spilling out of him.
I was yawning because of
that classic hangover energy we were banking on.
We're going. It's still going.
I'll tell you what, I was spilling some wacky energy earlier.
Oh, we.
What's that mean?
Both ends.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know what that means. I'm just trying to think how that could work. Like, because I think...
Because it's like drawing cursors and stuff. To be honest, we should have checked. Maybe it's not coming out on console. Because it was Xbox and Windows 10. That's the point of the event.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time explaining that whole thing.
Yes, we had a very long presentation. The idea Xbox
and how it
program.
Works and stuff like that, yeah. Like,
show me the games.
Yeah. That's kind of the deal.
Show me the games.
Show me the games.
A very interesting thing is that it was the head of the European program for IDEA Xbox, and I asked him about several games that there weren't there that had been announced like years ago and I'm interested in, and his answer was consistently, go ask the devs. I was like, what do you do then?
Yeah. What's your job, motherfucker?
On you.
Like literally second in command of the entire program. Yeah. He does just but, go ask the devs.
It means a big boy. He doesn't have to answer to you,
that's
Joe.
That's true. Mm. He is a big boy.
He's more top down.
I think. I thought you said, I told you, don't let the shit munchers talk to me.
Yeah, get him out there.
Because we thought I'd get him out myself.
Who let him in my apartment?
What's all this going on?
I saw him go around the corner in the apartment and just backhand one of his subordinates.
Took off a leather glove. Hit him. Or so he's like, you never deduct.
Never let them ask me about Cuphead again.
Yeah, that was a really good bit because he goes, oh, I know you're going to ask me about Cuphead. He's like, no, I'm not.
I wasn't.
But now I want to.
But I think both of our favourite game was probably Sexy Brutal.
Oh, that was, it's so smart. And it was impossible really to demo.
Yeah.
Like, from what we saw, we were still kind of confused and had to have a guy explain it to us.
What is a Sexy Brutal?
Is it sexy?
Well, I'll tell you. It's basically, it's something is happening over a nine, there's a party going on at the Sexy Brutal.
I mean,
the Sexy Brutal is like a weird
club.
Like sexy mansion.
Sex club.
Not sex.
Sexy Brutal.
It's like the Sunset Strip.
It's by,
not.
No.
That place is horrible in Soho.
It's by ex-Lionhead people, we should point out. So it's very British.
And basically, there's a party going on. There's loads of mysteries and shit. And something is happening. Basically, you control different characters, or you control one character who's getting involved in other people's lives and
business.
People's stories.
Sticking his nose in.
Over a 9-minute period, is it?
Yeah, so it's an entire night that plays out over 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And essentially, the mechanic is Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
So you see the events happen, and over this night, every single other major character gets killed.
Yeah.
As far as we understand it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to Groundhog Day your way into saving all of their lives.
Yeah.
Throughout the night. And as you save each one has a specific power that you get.
That's right.
As a result of saving
so
them.
Cool.
So it's got this sort of Metroid-y aspect to it as well.
Nice.
But the idea is it's entirely non-linear. So after the tutorial, which is long and complicated, which we did, it was a good demo. The entire house is open to you, and you might have to kind of figure out that this puzzle connects to this puzzle on the other side of the house.
This sounds brilliant.
It's really,
really, really good.
Yeah.
Confusing as hell until it's explained to you properly.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's an amazing, I've never seen a puzzle game like it before.
Is that this year?
Yeah, it's. I think it's this summer even.
Cool.
Like, it was. It looked pretty dumb.
So what character, are you like a detective?
You are not, you are a, you're a vicar.
Is it?
Yeah.
Vicar. Sweet, there's no vicar protagonists.
Protagonists.
Yeah. So it sounds a bit Cluedo-y.
It is quite Cluedo-y.
Like
it,
rooms
it also
and
looks like that as well.
Okay.
Like,
but it appears to be that like the staff of this mansion are killing off the party guests. And so you've got to stop them doing so by, so in the tutorial it's, what's the puzzle? Oh, the guy gets shot.
Yeah.
But you can find out by following the guy. You find out where he picks the gun up from.
Yeah.
And then you find a blank bullet in another part of the mansion. So you then go and load that bullet into there, which becomes its own sort of stealth game because the guy comes in and out of the thing. But because it's the same event every single time, you learn how people move.
I bet
there's
this
no
is
trial
a nightmare to make.
That's what we were talking about. We were like, we were looking at it. Like,
as soon as we finished, I literally said, this seems like a nightmare.
Yeah.
He was like, it's take the longest thing in design for
it's
us
so
just
intricate.
Working out how everything fit together.
I'd love to see the string board, you know, just like
I've always
connects.
Wanted to make a string board.
Should we just make one
in the office?
We should do that on these walls. It's when someone comes in like
just put pictures
of FBI profilers.
Just make a dog on it and like Tamor from GameSpot. Like the head question mark.
Different roles. Have you ever seen the film Cluedo?
Yes.
Never watched it.
I've seen
Cluedo.
That's
Cluedo.
Right.
Cluedo.
Yeah.
Do you know that
it's
was
on Netflix?
Yeah, I've never watched it. Apparently it's supposed to be alright.
It is
very
odd. It got, you know, that when that first came out, it got shipped with different endings to different cinemas.
Yeah. That's a really cool idea. So I think, but also kind of shitty, isn't it?
Cover your bases.
Powers gives, but he takes.
What you've literally just done is what Cluedo did.
Yeah.
You've got two different endings to your opinion.
Take that, it's Cluedo. Kind of
Who did you guys play as in Cluedo? Did you have a go-to?
Green, always green. I play main. Green in
Who's your main? Cluedo.
Who's your main? My main, Colonel Mustard.
I love Plumzolt. He was great.
Do you know who gets murdered in Cluedo? Dr. Black.
Dr. Black.
Hey, that's not all right, is it? Wait, no. there wasn't even...
Yeah, it's all right.
There wasn't even Dr. Right. Black in the original Cluedo, was it?
Yeah, he's the guy who's murdered.
Yeah.
No, not in the film. Like, in the board game, there wasn't the Dr. Black.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying.
What are you saying?
You're solving his murder.
Oh, that's why you right. don't get to play as him.
I actually, it's been so long, I don't even remember how to play Cluedo.
Jesus Christ.
What is Cluedo?
It's like, who gets murdered?
That's the one with the fucking faces and hats and shit, right?
Who's your friend?
The guy with a monocle?
My cousin's son got like a knockoff Guess Who from a charity shop. It was called Who's Your Friend? And all the people look the same. Like really minor differences.
That's brilliant.
Who's your friend?
Who's your friend?
That's much sadder.
So, in conclusion, don't lie to us. Tell us that something's captured when it's not.
And don't believe that you'll ever be given a sandwich in an apartment.
If you have any information on Timur and the head of GameSpot, send it in. We're at a dead end.
I heard when you cut his head off, Timur sprout in its place.
Just Hydra symbols everywhere, all over the board.
I need you, GameSpot.
Right.
And draw Sex Robot Man.
Draw Sex Robot Man.
Definitely said draw Sex Robot
Man. I laughed too hard. Oh. I've got a headache now.
So, guess what? I watched, I finished Love Series 2 this week. And I think it's my favorite TV show of the year.
Is it?
It's so
what?
Good.
It's what? But I don't even know what it is.
It's a Judd Apatow produced TV show. There's two series of it. There's a guy called Paul Rust and a girl called Gillian Jacobs. Gillian. I think it's Paul Rust's show. He's like a comedian who's written this thing. And it's basically like it's kind of like Judd Apatow comedy drama type thing about these two people at the beginning of a relationship. And like the first series is their meeting. The second series takes place, I think, like a week later, something like that. So it's all basically one long thing. But the first like four episodes of this is like it's so good and it's so realistic as well, like to what it is like dating for the first, like when you first start dating someone. And I just love it. I don't know. Like it was one of those things where I thought there was another three episodes, and I watched the last episode, and I was like, oh, I got such a good day. I'm gonna watch the last three episodes now. No, you're not, because you've already finished it. I was like,
how many episodes of the series did you say?
10.
Okay.
I literally shouted out in my go, no, there's gotta be more. There's not more.
Am I right in thinking there's a recurring thing where they make up theme tunes for TV shows that don't have theme tunes?
Yeah.
Right, this is...
No. They make up... he's like, him and his mates, they watch movies. They have like a movie night. Mm-hmm. And then they write a theme tune, like a really cheesy theme tune to that movie.
That's really weird, because the only time I've ever had an interest previous to this in love is because Gillian Jacobs and Paul Rust
in general in love.
Were on Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the episodes they were on, they appeared with a guy in character as the... sitcom head honcho man Alan Thicke.
Okay.
And a recurring joke in that episode is that he would keep writing theme tunes for TV shows that didn't have theme tunes. It just feels like they've ripped that off from a podcast they were on once.
But were they on it? Why were they on that podcast?
Just as short, guests.
They weren't on it promoting love.
Yeah, they were.
Oh.
But they were with a character who does that already. Like he's an established character.
He does
that
already.
Does that. So they've just nicked it.
Maybe.
Outrageous.
Wow. Rubbish.
I did like
the show, but it turns out they're robbers.
Derivative.
It's really good. And there's Rich Summers is in it. Do you know who that is?
No.
He plays Harry in Mad Men, but he's also the voice of the dude in Firewatch.
Yeah. I know you mean that.
Yeah, and he plays Gillian Jacobs. Is it Gillian Jacobs or Gillian Jacobs?
She insists on Gillian.
Does she?
It bothers me greatly.
Come on now.
Shut up, Gillian. I know what your name is better than you. He plays her ex-boyfriend, and that gets to be a really horrible thing in series two. There's a really, really nasty couple of scenes. But it's mad seeing him being such a prick as well.
Who's Harry?
Yeah, because he's such a nice person.
Mad
he is a prick in Mad Men.
Like, I've just finished rewatching that.
He's horrible in the later series. Because he gets promotions when he doesn't deserve them.
No, I mean, two of his promotions I agree with. One of them not so much.
But is that Peggy?
He doesn't get promoted over Peggy.
No, but it's like... Anyway.
Yeah.
It's not the right forum for that.
It's like the board again. This is exactly why I don't watch Mad Men.
This is why we need
the board. Because it's the boring soap opera bullshit. Every time anyone...
He didn't deserve those promotions.
Yeah, I know. Like, any other show would be like...
There's a really good recurring joke in Mad Men though, that how everyone hates Harry, like, because nobody wants to make him a partner in the film, which is really, really good.
He's a little slug.
Did you see jokes about that?
In real life, Heinz started using the adverts that he gets rejected by Heinz in Mad Men.
Yeah. I know.
That's quite good.
I read an interview with the agency. We're just like, yeah, we think Don Draper would be really happy. But it's like, you've literally nicked his idea. So they go, you know, like the idea that he pitches to Heinz for the ketchup.
They've literally taken it.
They've literally taken it. They're running it.
But are they paying? They must be getting money for that.
Yeah. I don't know.
So the
advert is basically, I think it's like what, it's basically the idea is like what's missing. So it's just like a close up shot of some food. And it's just like what's missing, Heinz or something like that.
Yeah. So it's just like fries with no ketchup on them.
Yeah.
Or a burger with no ketchup.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It's a really good idea for an advert thing. And yeah, they've just done it. They're going to use it. Wow. Some agency have pitched it to Heinz, being like, hey, we got this really awesome idea for the thing. It's like, that's actually, yeah. It looks exactly like it as well.
But
someone's getting
the
money
only
for
reason
that.
I've heard of this advert is because it was a good story about taking things from Mad Men. So actually, the real advert is in your mind.
The real advert is Gillian Jacobs. but you should watch Love. It's really good. It's got a lovely soundtrack. It's just easy to watch as well.
Well, I need that.
And it's only 30 minutes. But I can't believe it's the end. There we are. Life.
All right. Life. Yeah.
Life. Ghosts. Tell you what, I've fucking seriously pulled one of my testicles bowling last night.
How do you pull a testicle?
I fucking don't know, man. It's killing them.
He was chucking them down.
It's really weird.
How?
I don't know. I don't know what my body does.
Yeah, bowling as well. It's not the most strenuous sex.
Like, it feels like I've just pulled.
You mean the testicle itself?
Or around that area.
Yeah, around the area, region. But the testicle is killing.
Well, I can see why you do. You pull a groin muscle, do
you? Yeah.
Yes, well
you, really, maybe, you were really going for it as well.
Maybe you pulled the muscle out and the testicles got smashed back in the gap.
Come on now. Enough of this.
Life.
I heard a story from a friend who once dislocated his leg from his hip, his pelvis.
Oh.
And then his testicle got trapped when they pushed it back in.
Shut up, Joe.
That's friend of a friend.
That's bullshit. That's like when you're a kid and you're like, I heard there was a kid in the school I got a town that is like, his balls exploded. And it's like, what? No, got trapped.
That's real. That was in the news.
What's the troubles?
What's the worst? what's your worst injury as a child?
Worst injury as a child?
I've never been to hospital.
What?
That's not true.
I've never been to hospital.
Can I have some of your blood?
Oh, actually, I have once. I got drunk on Calpol.
As a kid?
Yeah. I broke into the old medicine cabinet.
Ride or die.
Yeah, purple shit.
I died.
Ride or die. I died. Yeah, very nearly died.
Really impacted my riding.
You must have done something.
I've done tons of stuff. I basically live in the hospital.
All right, sure.
I was my infamous hacky sack incident.
Oh, yeah?
Where I, broke my knee.
Infamous.
Quite bad.
Please tell us about it. Infamous Powers hacky sack.
Infamous, but you do need to explain it and elaborate on it.
Yeah, I tried to do a front flip in a bowling alley and didn't make it.
That was the hacky sack incident?
No, that was another one.
That was the hacky sack.
Fell out of a tree. That was quite bad.
What was the hacky sack incident?
Oh, the hacky sack one.
The infamous one. The one that will live in infamy.
Don't remember.
Yeah.
I was playing hacky sack and I hit, because hacky sack, you know, it's not like keep ups. You kind of like bend your leg and curl it inwards. So you hit the flat, the inside of your foot. That's how you keep it.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
I basically did that, but twisted it way too far. And the side of my knee basically exploded.
What?
Yeah, it got disconnected from the joint.
Those tales you hear at school where people's balls exploded. Anyway, my knee exploded.
Leave that.
True story.
When you say exploded, what happened?
Fucks up. Stuff ripping.
What did it look like?
It was like, it's still messed up to this day. I was showing you these are very lovely skinny jeans, so I won't reveal myself.
Glass in your foot?
But it is glass in my foot. That was months ago. I shouldn't have walked on it as well for a week.
She'd gone to the hospital.
Oh, that was horrible.
That's on Sarah as well, your mum.
That is on my mum.
She's a nurse, and she was like, oh,
walk it off.
All my friends, really, you guys were like, oh, come on, stop being a crybaby. I was like, I'll just call my mum. Mum, what do you think?
No, we were not like that at all. We were like, go to the hospital.
Nah, I know you guys. You want me to walk it off.
Be more of a crybaby.
I read between the lines.
My foot exploded.
Daniel, you saw a film about life.
It's about life. It's about the human condition. It's about space.
Any knees exploding there?
No knees.
Hand
but there's quite a lot of gruesome stuff in it.
Is it?
So basic premise is there's a bunch of astronauts, six or seven of them, on the International Space Station. They intercept a rock that is heading towards Earth that's come from Mars.
Yeah.
And on this rock, they...
It's come from Mars?
Yeah. This like all the best little things. Meteor thing, and they find a single cell life form that's in stasis. It's non-reactive, so they start to kind of like change. They have it in like a little laboratory, and they like give it oxygen and glucose to see if they can awaken it. And eventually, it does like kind of animate, and then it starts growing. And they keep checking like day after day, and it's becoming a multicellular life form, and then stuff happens.
Sweet.
Like it kind of breaks out and it keeps evolving.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And they've got to contain it because it's basically like we have to kill it, or it's in a different way. It's very like Alien.
Yeah.
But if you're going to make a space bound thriller, horror thriller, Alien's probably quite a good one to use as your template. Yeah. And the stakes are quite high because they're literally above Earth. So they have to, once it starts like breaking loose, like we need to kill it, or we need to like go out into deep space, because otherwise it's going to get to the planet and take over.
That's also sort of the plot to Prey,
which
is coming out soon.
Yeah, actually,
that's really weird.
When I was watching the movie, because in the trailer you don't get to see anything what it looks like.
Yeah, I haven't done it.
Like it's interesting what they've done. It's really hard to design it. It makes you realize how good Alien is in that regard. Like. It's fine. It's not the most amazing. It's almost more interesting when it's like more a basic life form.
Yeah.
Than when it turns into like more like a monster.
That's the thing. It's really like Cloverfield. That's a terrible monster. Like Super 8, terrible monster.
No, I think that's unfair. Super 8's
alright. I loosely remember like a big curve. In my head, they're quite similar.
Yeah. It shouldn't have been shown as much as it was, but I thought it was all right.
Those Skull Crusher things in Kong, which I've recently seen, they're rubbish, and they remind me a bit of like Cloverfield.
Muto in the new Godzilla, that was terrible. Fucking big spiky
thing he fights.
Yeah. Yeah. Awful.
It is really hard.
What's the best recent Alien or monster?
That's a brilliant question, Joe, and I won't be able to think of it off the top of my head now.
Does the Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth count?
No.
No, that's not Alien.
What's a monster?
He is. He Spanish. Is scary as shit.
They just have monsters there.
Yeah. Alien. What's the most recent Alien?
Best recent Alien. Have there been many?
It must be.
All the ones in the Amy Adams one, were they cool?
Yes, absolutely.
They were really good.
They were really cool.
Yeah.
You haven't even seen it.
I didn't see it.
Got it.
Yeah, actually. That is the best.
Because they are like truly alien, and that's why I think the Giga one's so good. It's like, it's kind of humanoid, but there's a reason for that, because it incubated within a human, so it's taken on some of that DNA.
Yeah.
But it is its own weird thing.
Yeah.
Do we know... I haven't watched the first Alien for ages. Is it... raised at any point that that's why it is?
No, I don't think so. I think it's
wasn't
just
all implied.
I think it's just implied.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I think, and then Fincher kind of made it a thing with the dog alien.
Of course,
yes.
But we were talking about, like, I used to have toys as a kid that are like bonkers stuff, like cow alien,
bull
alien, gorilla alien, snake alien.
Yeah, those old, like, was it NECA? They made all.
But
those
there's loads of random.
There was going to be an Aliens kids cartoon series at one point.
I did that a lot when we were kids, because inappropriate like cartoons based on films that kids shouldn't have seen.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, why were we playing with action figures for?
Why
would
But I'd seen Predator. I thought it was amazing.
My mum bought me like a flying queen alien for Christmas.
I think it's alright for like a kid to watch Aliens. Like Aliens, the second one. It's an action. I know it is quite intense at points, but I love watching. Only if you're a little kid.
Pussy.
She says the B word at one point.
She does.
Yeah,
she does.
It's a good word.
It's a good point, Joe.
There's got to be like a parent copy you can download.
Yeah, a parent copy.
Yeah, beeped or.
I was telling Krupa like words. I've still got because I used to record everything when I was a kid, and I've got like the ITV version of Predator with like adverts and shit. And in the bit where he says, "You ugly motherfucker." They've dubbed it, and it's just obviously someone who just worked at ITV doing it, and instead of going "you ugly motherfucker," he goes, "or you are one ugly motherfucker," he just goes "balls."
What?
It doesn't even match.
It's not, what do you mean? It's not the same thing.
It's just someone just goes "balls."
You know,
it's so weird.
It would be really interesting to do like a screening of what it was like to watch TV in the 90s.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch that.
Or like, yeah, like in a morning of like what the programming.
Yeah.
I would watch a movie interrupted by old adverts.
Oh yeah, I'd really
That's the thing. Bring that tape in.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
I want to watch that.
That is crazy. Like I remember doing like movie nights, and then you'd be like watching the movie, and it would cut to adverts in the tape that you'd recorded, and you'd be like, "All right, fast forward through these." And you're like,
yeah. "I sometimes like, do that thing where you press pause when the adverts come up, like time it, because then you like live edit out the advert."
I used to do that on my Simpsons episodes when I was recording those.
Yeah. Do you remember like a 3-hour videotape? If you did long play, that's a 6-hour videotape. The quality is.
Like that,
you're basically using half a frame of tape.
Right.
The first time, this is a really weird story, but like the first time I ever used Video Plus, do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just had the Video Plus numbers in the TV guide. So basically, so you could like put in the number and then it would basically record, it would know what to record. So if you want to record at Coronation Street 7:30, you put in like 98312 and it would know to record at Wednesday at 7:30.
Wow.
But the first time I ever used it, was to record the movie Speed. And there's a bit when you're doing the... I didn't know about long play and standard play at the time. So when I inputted the code for Speed, it said there's an option to choose your speed for the thing. And I was like, holy shit.
It knows what
I'm doing. And I was like, I told my mum, I was like, "Mum, look at this. Like, how cool is this? My new video does this." And she was like, "Oh no, that's just the speed of the tape."
The magic stripped from you.
Yeah, and then you like...
And look at you now. Your phone can talk to you.
I know, man.
Madness.
So life, is it good?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's got a very good ending as well.
Does it?
Like... I'm gonna say an ending here, and this is no way. No. I'm gonna say the end. I'm gonna invoke another ending.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that's what happens here.
Right,
it's like The Mist.
Okay.
It's like it's a ballsy ending.
Right. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, The Mist is good. Isn't it?
Still never seen it.
You'd love it.
I know I would.
You would absolutely.
I know I would.
Frank Darabont. Can we literally just watch that
after work on
that? I haven't seen it either. I've seen The Mist and then the Sex Robot one.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, we've got
the two great films of the last.
We're going to screen Event Horizon for you sometime. Gotta watch Event Horizon.
There's a lot of movies I need to watch.
Aliens. Aliens and Predator double bill. You've seen Aliens?
I've seen Aliens, I haven't seen Alien.
I can't believe you haven't seen Predator. I
haven't seen Predator.
You're going to fucking love it.
I probably
And the thing is, the more films you start watching, the better you're going to be at Keyword Countdown. If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, it's our game where we take the crazy keywords from IMDb and you have to guess what the film is by those keywords. I've picked 5 films on a particular theme. So is this the first time we've had 3 people playing it?
I think we've done it once before.
It's going to be manic. Ooh. Absolutely manic.
With this energy, with this lot.
Krupa did a really cool thing on my Keyword Countdown spreadsheet because I couldn't do it. But he's worked out like if there's an average column now as well. So we know like...
But I think we definitely need everyone to play the same amount of times because otherwise you get outlying.
Yeah.
Like Alex playing ones. Yeah. Like
24 points.
He's not doing that again. No. You're going to have regression to the mean.
So what I think we'll do towards the end of the year is I'll look at how many people need to do and I'll just write a load of keyword countdowns.
Do a special.
And we get
everyone in.
They'll love that.
Buddy love that. There we go. So all these 5 films.
Oh, I keep sniffing this highlighter. It's really nice.
Is that right?
Gav, bang on that.
Oh,
it's nice.
I want to. You like the smell of things. Yeah.
I do like the smell of things, but that's not for me.
No,
is this good?
I like no, it. That's not good.
We don't advocate this. I don't think it's toxic. Don't think it's like markers. Get you high stuff.
Yeah,
like
it's not, they can't do that anymore.
It smells quite sweet.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Anyway, guys. Okay, film number one.
Weird interlude.
Forward title.
There Will Be Blood.
Business Shell. Business Trip. Global Economic Crisis of 2008.
Not The Big Short. Not the other guys.
Female Rear Nudity.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Homecoming.
Oh, wait, that's not 2008.
Spider-Man.
Reference to Charles Lindbergh.
The fuck?
On the Road. Downsizing. Job termination.
Oh, this is so annoying. Pursuit of happiness.
Final clue. Airport.
The terminal. Up in the air.
Yay.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It's good. I like Up in the Air.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's all right, though. 1 point, Dan. We can come back.
That was when that was Jason Reitman
hollow
was still
win.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever seen...
Rear Nudity, is it?
Thank You for Smoking.
Yes.
That is an amazing film.
Yeah, it's good, man.
So good.
It's really good. Okay, film number two. Coming of age film.
Spider-Man.
Teen movie.
16 Candles.
Suburb. Obsession.
The Burbs. American Beauty.
Oh.
Death Wish.
That was close.
Donnie Darko?
Female director.
Oh, and Jennifer's Body.
Brownie the Food.
Brownie the Food.
Juno.
Impaled on a fence.
Bloody hell.
Escalate quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Discount some brownies.
Already the food.
Alan Partridge.
Put in. This is a good. This
is.
It's a good. This is a really good one. Put in one's head in an oven to commit suicide.
I don't know.
This is what I want to watch.
Final clue. Five Sisters.
The Virgin Suicides?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well done. Never seen it.
Scraping you.
It's wicked. It's really good.
It sounds banging. Don't get me wrong.
Sophia Coppola.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
Brownies.
James Woods is in it.
James Kirsten Woods Dunst's in his weird long face.
I love that film. It's really good. Here we go. Film number three. Joe's steamed ahead with two points.
two correct guesses. That's on the spreadsheet.
This is the maddest game we've had yet.
I'm fucking smashing this. Plus the readers
loving
it.
Yeah, don't slag it off.
I know.
I said it was good.
The first thing he said when Joe guessed Up in the Air, like even, without even blinking, you went, "That's all right. We can come back from that. That's fuck all."
I'm flip flopping.
Here we go.
Flip flopping.
Film number three. Gallantry.
Night's Tale.
Battle of the Sexes.
Night's Tale.
Ends with Rejection.
Hello. When Life. Harry Met Sally.
Atlanta.
Oh. This is going to be.
Widow. Civil War.
Cold Mountain.
Mammy.
What is this?
Gone with the Wind?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Well done, Joe. 4 points there. 6 points overall.
He can't
Mammy.
Come back now. He's too far.
Too far gone.
As I explain to you every week.
Nah, we fucked it, Darren.
Plantation. Scandal. Old Maid.
Have you seen Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah,
it's one of those things that I think I need to see this film. Yeah, I just sat down, made myself watch it. I was like, I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, it's really good. Here we go. Film number
it is very long.
Four. It's 236 minutes long. That was another keyword.
Too much.
It was a flip disc for me.
Was it?
On the DVD.
Scarface was a flip disc.
Goodfellas was a flip disc.
Yeah.
And for years, I had only seen a portion of that film and thought it had a really weird ending.
That's abrupt.
It's got a really weird ending when it says turn over to side two.
He didn't do that.
He just watched the second half.
Yeah. He didn't do that.
Yeah, he just watched the second half.
Oh, in medias res.
Here we go. 6 points to Joe, three guesses. Film number four. Documentary.
Cloverfield.
Inside Job.
Cloverfield.
What do you think Cloverfield is?
What do you think a documentary is?
Yeah.
That was yeah, weird. The government tried to cover it up.
Did you see that bit where the shadow exploded?
Yeah, you guys, you don't know what you're talking about. It's all real.
One word title.
Cloverfield?
Gladiator.
What?
Gladiator.
Artificial leg.
What?
Man carrying man.
Touching the void?
That's not a one-word
one
title.
One-word title.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Touching the void.
United States versus Canada.
I don't know.
Like Sicko?
Character's point of view camera shot.
What is
documentary.
This?
You're a liar.
Paralympics.
Oh, that's not. Is that one word? Murder ball.
Yeah.
Oh, now I don't good, have man. A point.
What do I get for that?
Three points. To be fair, you could actually win this.
You're not gonna.
Whoa!
Oh, hello.
The other clue.
Probably not.
Rugby and wheelchair.
Can I still win it?
Yeah, if you want.
Sure.
I mean, mathematically, yes.
Yes, you can. Okay. Yeah. Joe's got 6 points. You just need to
get
guess.
More than six.
First four.
That film number five.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what it was for a second. Bloody hell.
Three-word title. Male pubic hair. That's not the title. That'd be awesome. Three-word title. And that title is male pubic hair.
I win.
That's one of those ones you find on the bottom shelf in Blockbuster.
Yeah. I'd buy that.
Jackass, the movie.
Three-word title. Male pubic hair. Amputee. Welcome home party.
Sounds like a good party so far.
Twinkie the pastry.
The deer hunter?
Yes.
Oh.
Holy shit.
I didn't get that from Twinkie the pastry.
What'd you get it from?
I got it male from pubic hair. Welcome home party.
Oh, bloody hell.
Well done, Joe. Four guesses. 13 points. Krupa, you got one guess for 3 points. Well done, Joe.
Happy with that.
Anyone know what the link is?
Missing limbs.
Prosthetics. Give it to me. Give me a point. Come on. Oh.
It's not.
They
all.
Oh.
No, I remember.
Suicide.
Forward title, business trip, gold economic. I'm not doing that, actually. Up in the air. Virgin suicides. Gone with the wind. Murder ball. Fucking. Deer hunter. Does anyone know what the link is?
No. They're suicide? All about wars.
No.
Internal wars.
Yes.
There's a war going on inside of us.
What is it?
They are all categorized on IMDb under the category of homecoming.
Oh, fuck you,
Spider-Man
Kev.
Homecoming trailer.
I guess Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
I did give
you Murderball.
Yeah, that's in it. That's in it.
Unbelievable.
Because they come home.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Up in the air.
Where is home for George Clooney in that film? That's the real question.
That's the problem.
That's the problem for him and us.
Okay.
As viewers.
Here we go then.
Let's
do some feedback.
Yeah.
Remember, you can email us, ign_ukfeedback@ign.com, and we read them out like we're about to do.
This is from Alan Tran. It's called Packed Cinema or Empty Cinema. Just a quick one.
New game.
Just saw Power Rangers with my little brother, and we were the only ones at the cinema.
Sweet.
Odeon Lee Valley, 4:45 p.m. on a weekday, he says.
Oh, nice.
Context.
It's not always going to be the same, mate.
We go to the cinema often and love when we walk into a movie and we're the only ones. When talking to our mum, she said she prefers watching a movie when it's packed. We were really confused. She says it can create an atmosphere. We didn't agree. Just wanted to know your opinion. Packed cinema or empty cinema?
Empty.
Depends on the film, doesn't it?
Yeah. If it's comedy, I quite like packed cinema for
it. Popstar. That was so good for the whole place, into laughter at all the right places.
Yeah, I've seen I saw Kick-Ass years and years ago when it first came out, and just seeing it with an audience that were really into it made the film better. Everything was landing. And I've seen doing this job, seeing the same movie a few times, and I've been with screenings where it definitely improved my enjoyment of the movie.
I watched The Watchmen on opening day in like a nerdy independent cinema with people like cosplaying and stuff. It made that film so much better because everyone was like, fuck, I can't believe it's here. Yeah. And then I watched it the next day because I really liked it at the time for some reason.
I watched mine yesterday. I liked it. I watched it again recently.
I was not into it. The best cinema experience
I had when I was a kid, like first started going to the cinema with your mates, like going into town like 12, 13. And we went to see the Mummy, the Brendan Fraser movie, and the cinema made this real effort, like it was packed, and there was like, it's almost in my head like when the kids go watch I Was a Teenage Werewolf in It, where there's like popcorn flying about, and like some of the staff midway through the movie dressed as a mummy and ran through the audience.
That's fun. I hate that.
But like there was something about it where
it feels special, it was just like a stunt thing.
Like I think I would hate that now, but it was really good from then. And then also saw Blair Witch with my mates, completely empty cinema.
Oh, that's good. Saw the Gore Verbinski. We used to do this thing, go to the Treforest Cinema in Angaru on like midnight. We did like midnight screenings and we went to see Gore Verbinski's Ring, and it was only four of us in the cinema. And like, it was also really weird as well because they didn't put any trailers or anything on before it. I don't know why. Ooh. So it was just like, obviously they'd forgotten or fucked up or something. So we went and sat down, lights went down, it just came on straight away, which obviously happens at screenings now. But at the time we were just like, what the fuck? And he just starts as well.
That's cool.
I saw Anton Corbin's Control on a date, and we were the only people in the cinema, and it was bleak.
Stay with me, baby. Before the film even came on, I already knew the ending.
What's the film which has that story in it?
24 Hour Party People.
Yes, right. Yeah.
I was listening to Steve Coogan talk about that the other day on the Adam Buxton podcast, and I really want to watch it again. That's so good. Great film.
It's really good. And the guy who plays Ian Curtis is fucking the really weird looking dude from Prometheus.
In 24 Hour Party People. Because I know the guy who played Ian Curtis in Control is also in 24 Hour Party People, but as a different person in the post-punk scene. It's really strange.
Shit. There we are. There you go. Two. This is from Code Marla. What?
CJ at the bottom.
Just CJ.
Reading out his email.
Yeah. This is from like a proper website. Well, it might be. I don't know if it's a proper website.
Gmail?
No, look. Look at that.
From Google himself.
What's that?
Anyone can register a domain.
Yeah. It might be a real website.
It might be,
Probably not.
Let CJ from Code Marla do what they want.
Okay. This is subjected movie reviews from non-target demographics.
Subjected.
I don't know. On last week's podcast, you asked us to write in if we disagree with anything you said, which I do, so I am. When talking about the new Power Rangers movie, someone, I forget who, commented on a serious movie review publication, negatively reviewing the film, and they said, why are they bothering to review it anyway?
Yes, you did. I listened to it yesterday and I was confused by that opinion.
Yeah. I think it's actually very important for reviewers to review movies or other media that isn't targeted at them, to give a rounded review of the media and let their readers, viewers know if a movie that isn't targeted at them is actually good on this occasion.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I was confused by that point of view. You said, like, why are people bothering to review Power Rangers if they don't like that kind of thing? But that's kind of the point, right?
I think my point was, like, I don't like people who review stuff and they know they're going to hate it.
But they're still reviewers. Like, it is their job. Yeah. And if you trust a reviewer,
but I think,
like,
I think Peter Bradshaw, I just wouldn't.
I just don't care what his opinion is on Kong.
Yeah. Like, but I think our point for Power Rangers was the people reviewing it, and with Kong as well, the people like going, oh, it's like reviewing it as like not as a Kong movie, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem. But don't matter, is it?
Not really.
Because Kong's fucking brilliant. Didn't you say we had loads of people writing in saying that they hated Kong?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of people about hating it. I saw it the weekend as well.
A lot of people who really like Beauty and the Beast as well.
That's mental.
I'm angry with
you. A lot of mentaloids listening to the fucking podcast.
That's why they're angry. Yeah, it's a lot of the mentaloids.
A lot of people like Coldplay and voted in the Nazis. So. Yeah,
can't trust people, mate.
Kong's great. Let's just talk about Kong for an hour.
Brilliant.
Oh, I can't wait to watch Power Rangers as well.
Yes, we've got to watch that.
Yeah, we need to
schedule a day.
What's this?
This is from...
Rory hasn't spoken for about 14 minutes.
No,
I know.
Oh, Jesus,
when you were talking about control, he went to a special place. Yeah. I looked around, he was like yawning with his hands on his head.
I was only drinking beer last night as well. I don't know how I'm so hungover.
Because you drank 27.
Yeah. I love, again, manic energy, four-man podcast, like Sparky.
I like
one,
this.
One guy who just wasn't here.
I like this. I'm just afraid that when we're going to have to leave this room. Like, I don't want
to
leave
I've
this
got
room.
Actual work to
what
do.
What time is it?
This is a safe little room.
12 o'clock, okay.
I do remember...
12 o'clock?
Yeah.
I do remember singing karaoke, like nail and harmonies, nail and harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
oh,
and then someone going, Rory, you have to bowl, running over, bowling, got a strike, and just went down on one knee and started chugging a beer. And I was like, I'm the king of this party. But
we
the
were
reality
the
of that
left.
Was probably very different. It was probably
the
a cutter ball.
Person like, kept coming up to me, going, got to put bowling shoes on. I was like, I'm not at them all evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this really an issue?
Oh, I felt a bit sorry for that woman.
No,
yeah, she was very harried. That wasn't nice. People kept taking all the food off her plate before she put
oh,
the plate
yeah.
down.
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, bad etiquette. Anyway, hey guys, on last week's podcast, Gav talked about how it was incredibly frustrating for him to show people a movie he liked, only for them to say that they didn't like it. I myself experienced this last month with John Wick. Who didn't like John Wick?
I know.
After seeing the trailer for the much anticipated sequel, I told all my friends to go watch the first one. Many of them aren't movie buffs or even fans, so I really have to pick my battles. I spent ages trying to convince them to see the movie, and when they finally gave in, you can imagine my feelings of betrayal when the next day...
Betrayal!
The general consensus was that it was okay. What do you think is the best way to convince someone to see a movie without overselling it?
It sounds like he's failed there.
I even feel like a bit like that with Power Rangers, and I like said I really enjoyed it. And then if we all go see it together and you all hate it, you know, if you were the one who advocates it and you're like, oh,
it's hard. Yeah.
You want people to like... You know, it's just natural. You want people to like the same stuff as you. It's why people take reviewing stuff really personally. Like, I don't probably all know people where you have disagreement about, you have a different perspective on film. Some people don't like having those conversations. Yeah. They take it really personally if you don't like the thing that they love.
Yeah.
Which I always find a weird mentality.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think you just need to
that,
like
though.
Accept it. It's like...
That's it. There's no way of like making someone watch a film that you love without
I think
saying
I
love it. I
think overhyping it, because I think then you are setting yourself up for the fall.
Yeah.
I think just go, hey, I really like John Wick, check it out. But if you like put it all on the line, I think you're like setting yourself up for that fall.
Yeah, don't do that.
I know, because I like, it's the same with my brother. I always try and get him into shows that I know he'll like as well, but it's just, it's that whole thing where if they don't watch it and you're still pushing it on them, you're like, just watch one episode. Like, I'll sit down and watch it with you, you know? It's like, just let them do it.
I've done.
Let them come across it.
I genuinely think it's all right to show someone something you love, and if they're not loving it enough,
kill
turning
them.
It off.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
right.
I
save yourself.
With an ex, I showed them Moon, which is one of my favorite ever films, and they were so bored within the first half an hour. I was like, I'm just turning this off. Like, I can't deal with
you. I can't be looking over
this
for another hour. Yeah.
Like,
how
it was
can
too
be bored
much.
In Moon.
Why do you think we're not together? Come on.
Come on, Moon. Right? That's going back in the box.
You know how we were smelling this marker earlier?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this. When I was younger, my dad used to have.
This is why you've been quiet for this whole time.
They were like markers, but they were scented markers.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Is that a good idea? It's like, hey, kids, like smell all these pens.
That's non-toxic.
That's
doesn't
great.
Matter.
Yeah, no, but that's not good. That like installs
the knowledge.
I think the
point
the
is like, isn't it like when you're colouring is like rather like on the paper,
like the ink,
smells.
Like the colour smells. Okay.
I don't think they want you showing.
I went straight to the source, straight to the pens.
I remember having a red biro, and like I always chewed on the end of my pens, and one time I accidentally chewed it open, and it started coming out. And I was like smelling it, and I was like, it smells like cherry. It's amazing that they've made the red pen smell like cherry.
Yeah.
So I bit open a black pen. It smelled of cherry as well.
Oh.
It's a Swiss.
Oh.
Absolute Swiss bic.
That's why people listen to this podcast.
And that was the second time. That was the second time I went to hospital.
World's not always sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. What's feedback number four, Daniel?
This is from Alex, who is from Atlanta. Your neck of the woods.
He doesn't care.
Doesn't give a shit.
I put Atlanta in as one of the keywords as well. He didn't care.
I know.
Don't pander to me.
Trying to keep you interested. You were just sniffing a market.
Whereabouts in Atlanta? Does he say?
No.
Oh.
Get rid.
Love the podcast, ladies and gents, but let's get down to business.
I like them already.
Does Joe Scrabbles even exist?
No.
A strange question, I know, so allow me to explain. Kind of funny is Greg Miller has often read articles by Joe on their morning show, and every time he would read the author's name, he would shout out that Joe Scrabbles was a made-up person. This deeply disturbed me. What do you think Joe feels like? Have you been faking Joe's existence this whole time, or is he some sort of hex or curse or something? The people deserve to know the truth, damn it.
Joe Scrubbles is actually a sex robot that became sentient in the
Yachty UK. Too powerful, needs to be destroyed. Yeah. That's
right. Joe exists. We exist. The IGN UK podcast exists. And you can get in touch with us. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Anything else?
That's all I've got. I need some.
Let's put a full stop on this.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.